Good evening,
and welcome to
TVF. Please say your name and location.
Terry Brown, and you can hear ICE welcoming people to the Monday night TVF. The beeps that you hear are when muting the conference line.
This conference is being recorded.
Recording the conference line. It's also being recorded by BBS Radio. And if you subscribe to BBS Radio, you can go on their site and into their archives and hear any of our shows that we've had since 2007. They're all been recorded and put on BBS Radio on their archive section. Wynn, are you on the line here?
No.
That was Wynn, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you know, I wanted to see how you handle that, okay?
Okay.
You know, a few years ago, if I did something like that with Terry, she would have fallen apart.
You would have heard a good silence.
What do I do now? And, you know what happened? I was on the phone with somebody, and it was at 5 o'clock. I was going to make a really short phone call. And then suddenly Terry comes in at 6 and says, "Where are you?" And I said, "Oh, my God." I didn't send the email out. I had a good topic I was going to do tonight. But now I'm not going to do that topic because I think that it would be, I should save it for when I announce it. But you know what? I thought I'd just talk about some things. Maybe we won't do a channeling tonight. We'll just talk. And the things that are really important that are going on in the world right now. And it's like good to know about them and how to cope with them. Now, we were going to actually do a channeling this afternoon, and I was going to ask some questions about it because we have our conference line still open. Are you guys still there? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, at least one person hears me. Anyone else hear me?
Yes.
Is that the same person?
No.
They sounded similar, didn't they? Oh, this must be one of those days that everyone sounds like Gina, right?
It must be that dolphin energy.
Must be the dolphin energy. Gina, can you make a dolphin sound?
I can, yes.
Would you make a dolphin sound for us?
Okay.
Ready, guys. We've never asked her to do this, but I said this is going to be a seat of the pants show. You know, the only way to keep this show interesting is that I don't know what it's going to be about when we start. If we do that, I stay interested. If I worry about what I'm going to do, I get boring. Isn't that nice? I mean, we go from Gina making dolphin sounds to talking to the voice that created the physical universe. And that's why they like me for this job, because I'm so corny that it takes away the pretension. Have you guys noticed that?
Yeah.
Yes. Who said I was corny? See, I was just going to try to get somebody out of the woodwork to say I was corny, and I did. Was that Gina?
No, it was Tracy.
Tracy. Hi, Tracy. Hey, it's nice to have you. Do you really think I'm corny?
I really think that you are very, very different in the way you handle things, and I think it works, yes.
Yes. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm different from what?
Well, I mean, from a lot of teachers, which, you know, a lot of people who have something to show people, at least a path to point them on, and the way you do it, you know, you don't take yourself seriously. I love that. I mean, you don't get too caught up in the ego at all. There's nothing. It's all seat of your pants. Love it because, you know, that's the way energy works. It flows.
Well, thank you. And I'll send you your $10 tomorrow.
Thank you. I want double if I say anything else.
Double. Now, who else wants to say something?
About you?
Not you, Heis, because you get too gushy, all right? Somebody who's not gushy, right?
Did you want me to make my dolphin sound, Wynn?
Oh, yeah. You see that? I forgot. I got everybody out in radio land waiting for you to make your dolphin sound, and I forgot, okay? Now,
that's okay. I kind of made one, but you were kind of talking, so I can make another one, and the dolphins, they absolutely love it. They do. They respond to it. They come right up when I swim with them, so they seem to love it. Okay, so you guys ready? All right.
Yeah, well, listen, before I... I'm sorry. I was talking over it. I was just going to tell people a little bit background about Gina. And Gina actually got stuck in a human body, but she's probably more of a dolphin than a human. It's like her best friends are dolphins. She dreams about swimming with dolphins. And she swims with them. She travels and goes to where dolphins are. And she's always sending them love. And go ahead, Gina. Let's hear some dolphin sounds.
Okay. Okay, here we go.
All right.
I love it. And I do it differently every time. And I even spoke their ancient name to them through my mask, and they still came up. So they still responded to that, too. Yeah, they're amazing. I moved to Hawaii just to be able to swim with them twice a month, so I'm very blessed and grateful for that.
I'm going to tell you guys a really funny story. Some of you might know it, but I'll bet most of you don't. And that was, you know, we're on the BBS radio network. And the reason we're on this network is about 6 years ago, somebody sent my story to Don Newsom, who was the founder of this network. And he was just starting it. He had two shows on CBS. And he got back to me and said, "Wynn, you got the most far-out story I ever heard. And do you want a show?" And I told him, "No. What am I going to do? Coming on every week. Tell my story every week." And but I said, "I'll tell you what. I'll talk into a tape recorder, and I'll send you the story, and you can play my tape." And so he did. And I don't know if anybody was listening. I mean, they were just starting. Maybe three people were listening. And then Don started, that's people coming in on our conference line, Don started calling me, and we started having these really deep metaphysical conversations over the phone, and we had two or three of those, and then one time I taped the conversation, and I sent him the tape, and I said, "Hey, why don't you put this tape out on the air, and we'll call it the Don and Wynn Show." And Don, are you listening, Don? Are you in the background, Don? Hello, Don? Okay, he's not listening. That means I can talk about him. So we called it. So we did it. And he said, "Wynn, that's a great idea, the Don and Wynn Show." So we started having conversations, and then we started going live. And sometimes I would talk about the book. I was probably, you know, still in the midst of talking about the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And then I started talking about Daphne and Terry. And Daphne had, you know, was living in Cape Cod. And she was busy thinking, maybe Wynn's negative. Wynn is crazy. This can't be real. Blah, 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 blah. And we would talk. And finally, I invited her, "Why don't you be a guest on the Don and Wynn Show?" Uh-oh. I'm disappointing somebody. Hang on a second. I'm going to mute everybody. I'm going to mute the tones. I don't have to feel like I got rejected. Okay, just a second.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
Okay. So I invited Daphne on the Donna Wynn Show, and I said, hey, this guy Don thinks that what we're doing is really great, and you started this. And so Daphne is on the show, and we're interviewing her. And for about the first 20 minutes, she's talking about how I ruined her life. And then suddenly she says, you know what? They have a message. Do you want them to give a message? And Don, well, I said, what do you think, Don? And Don said, why, sure. And, we had never done anything publicly like this before, ever. You know, we had been talking in our little apartment, and she would say, those guys want to talk to you. And so Don says yes. And so, you know, it's always, Don, are you listening? This would be a good time to have Don come on. Don said yes.
Hey, buddy, Don's not ignoring you. Do you want me to bring him on?
Well, that sounds like, is that Doug?
Yeah.
Bring Don on. He's gonna be my guest tonight. Okay. So this is Don Newsom, the founder of BBS. Are you there, Don? He should be filling in the blanks.
Here. All right, and now everybody can hear me. I'm live.
All right.
Well, thank you for calling me onto your program.
Now, Don, the reason I called you on, okay?
All right.
Is that this is an unusual show tonight.
Okay.
And I ended up starting to talk about the Don and Wynn Show. And I was telling the story of how I sent you that audio when you had two shows on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that you, I sent you my tape, and you said you played it. I don't know if you did, but you played it. And then we started the Don and Wynn Show. And why don't you tell people what you thought when you first met me? We can be really honest now, okay?
Okay.
You can say anything you want. This is authentic show.
Okay.
Just remember,
okay,
it's you, me, the conference call, the internet call, and the Elohim are all listening to you, so be good.
All right. Well, it was meant to be. That's what I think. I think the energy is divine, what happens, and we have divine energies making that possible. So I've loved this journey. The Don and Wynn Show was one of the first three shows on the network. Well, the very first, I would think, besides Dr. Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, and then Nancy Leader's Zeta Talk. So those were really the biggies, and the big three that started it all. And it's been a journey ever since. We've gone into the paranormal realms, maybe into the religious realms. We've gone all the way into the realms, political realms, comedical realms.
You're not telling people about the sex realm. Is that still going on?
Well, of course. That's my favorite. Huh? That's my favorite.
That's your favorite, right? What's that called?
The sex realm?
Yeah. I mean, you had a whole series of shows that were sexy.
Oh, when we were going to do the adult channel, correct, correct, correct.
The adult channel, right?
Right, right.
Right.
The adult channel.
So I'm telling the story that Don and I are doing the show. We don't usually have guests. We're just bantering between each other, talking. And I invite Daphne on. And for the first 25 minutes, she's kind of complaining about me mostly, about how I ruined her life. And then she says, but they want to say something. And we had never done a live channeling before, ever. And I said, what do you think, Don? And he says, yes. And you know what? If we were really in good shape today, if I really had prepared this show,
I would play that clip.
That was a goodie. That was a good one. I'm certain I have that clip somewhere.
I have it too, but I don't think I have the ability to play it with, you know, in good with it, with having it have good thing. But in any case, how many of you heard that clip? Did you guys on the call? We have the conference line still open. Have you ever heard that clip of the Council of 12?
I did.
You did?
Yeah, I think so. I think I heard it too.
You know what? I think when we send out the mailing on this, I'll include that clip. Now, if you're not subscribed to the Spirit Channel, if you subscribe, you'll get this clip as well as the audio of the show. Did you find it, Don? Are you there, Don?
I am. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, basically, the Council of 12 came through Daphne, and, of course, this was the first time the Council of 12 had ever come through, as I recall, and I was a little nervous because I said, who is this talking? You know, as much as I say, always scrutinize your sources, and how do I know this is going to be positive? And so I didn't know, but they said they were a emissary of the Elohim, and that the way they described themselves is they said they were looking for points of light, points of high intent, like groups on the earth that had a high vibration, and then they would petition the Elohim to join with that vibration and add the energy to those people on the earth. And they said they were like a cabinet. And they were said they were like the disciples to Jesus. I think they used that word. Then they gave this big message about life on earth and what earthlings needed to do. This was very, even though we didn't have a big audience, this was a very momentous thing for them to be doing this publicly. Now, I have found other people do channel the Council of 12. And so we continued, and I kept wanting to bring Daphne and Terry on the show, which we did over time. And Don kept wanting to bring people who were, like, seeing UFOs. And what did you want to bring on the show, Don? You had a predisposition at that time to do that kind of stuff, right?
Well, yeah. You know, I had this feeling, and the feeling pretty much revolved around off-world presence, an off-world presence. And I felt that the New Age, really, and I still do today, folks, I feel that the New Age somehow involves the presence of an off-world family. And I think, in our historical records, it shows throughout history that presence has been here, collaborative and helpful to humankind in various stages of its evolution. And I think that truly is what the Mayans and the calendar were talking about, that, you know, there'll be another period where there'll be that unification again. And I think that's what it portends. Now, I have really very little to go on except for feelings, a little bit of intuition. But my personal own inner guide is usually right, except when it comes to anything like this, then it's usually wrong. So I'm probably going to be wrong. I mean, let's face facts. But, yeah, I believe that somehow 2012, this the end of the Mayan calendar, portends that we are going to be coming back into a unification process, and that will involve off-worlders.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong. I have a fantasy mind, too, like everyone else. My imagination goes right off the bloody chart, so there you go.
Now, you know, I'm in constant contact with these guys that are talking to me. Plus, I studied the Wilcox channeling. Plus, I had both Daphne and Terry and Carla Ruckert, who we've discussed these things with. And my take on this is that in most cases, what has been positive, which has come through, has been the rock group. But they don't always say they're the rock group. The name is not important. And intermixed with that, particularly in the New Age, now if anyone's making background noise, mute yourself, because I have the lines all open. There's a lot of negative sources that look positive. Carla Ruckert came to this conclusion that negative sources will come through and say things. And regarding the transition that's going on our planet, it's not written in stone what's going to happen, and that there's this balance between positive and negative. And the disposition of the future is partially dependent on that balance. How many people are actually turned towards positive? How many people are actually keeping their hearts open? How many people are praying in one form or another? And just because somebody says it's praying doesn't mean that it is. But there's people reaching with all their hearts for higher powers. And whether they call that God or the Elohim or whatever name, love, the one infinite creator, if their intent is strong enough, they are impacting the balance in this realm. That's what I've learned. So, and this is the kind of conversations Don and I would have. Maybe we'll continue and we'll include that part of the show.
Hours, okay? Hours of them. I love them.
Because we're different. And these are the difference. Now, what I wanted to say was that we went on having our shows, and sometimes we would have guests that Don would bring on. And I brought Daphne on a second time. And Don said, okay, let's hear it. And the voice that came through Daphne the second time we were on said it was, you remember what it was, Don? It has to think of cabbage.
Okay. Bear with me. I'm having a little tonal problem here. Tonal. Hey! There. I had to mute Terry's line. That's where I'm bringing in my trash. Sorry, Terry. Okay. I had to mute you. Otherwise, no. Got an echo again.
Oh, you know what?
I'm starting to the sound echo, like.
Wait a second.
Let me mute, Canadian.
Huh? Let me mute the conference call. Okay? Hang on.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Did your echo go away? See?
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go.
When the conference line is open.
Sometimes echoes. No, maybe not. Let's see. A, B, C, D. Okay. No, we're good. No, are we? Not the best. That's all right. So I can live with this.
In any case,
I always want to sound as good as I can, you know.
I know. You got to look good.
I love you, man. I really do. I do miss our chats. They were for hours. We would chat every day. Sometimes 6-7 hours. It was amazing. We had a great growing relationship, and it was always metaphysical, offbeat, and I loved it. It was right up my alley, and the world hasn't gotten any less crazy, so I'm there with you now, my friend.
Okay, so the second time Daphne came on, you were like all hyped up to say, oh, let's see what's going to come through Daphne. And the voice that came through suddenly said it was Buck Choi the dolphin. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, Buck Choi, absolutely.
Buck Choi. Now, we still have those archives.
The Oracle.
Right. And so people would phone in and ask questions, and Buck Choi would answer the questions. Now, I was never sure if this was really a dolphin speaking to us, or if it was the Elohim dumbing themselves down so they didn't have to say they were the Elohim, because the show was getting a little bit irreverent. And so I never decided that. But for
and Buck Choy dies.
For a couple of shows, we had Buck Choy coming in and people phoning in asking questions. And I'll tell you what.
Buck Choy needs a new beginning, because it's not finished yet. I mean, the whole concept behind the Buck Choy I thought was delicious.
Right. Now,
yeah.
I have a comment
about Buck Choy.
Yes.
Daphne called me up one day, and she said Buck Choy had been trying to get a hold of me, and that we were old friends. And the thing of it was, I remember Buck Choy, and it was totally real to me that Buck Choy is a dolphin who was on a track, on my track, was a dear, dear friend and buddy of mine. And so when she said that he'd been trying to get a hold of me and I hadn't been responding, that was really a beautiful moment for me, because I remember Buck Choy, and so we talked through Daphne, and that was really great.
I mean, I think it was a time that I had ran off with Daphne, and you were really sad, and then Buck Choy wanted to talk to you, and we called you up, and Buck Choy was consoling you. Was that right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Buck Choy, it was like connecting me up with a dear friend, and that he would remember, and she would be able to bring that through. It was really special.
Now, you know, what got me on this track, you know, was Gina. Let me open the line a second and see if Gina's there.
All callers are muted.
Hang on.
All callers are unmuted.
Gina, are you there?
Yes, Wynn, I'm here.
Now, did you ever hear that Buck Choy stuff?
I did, yes. And I knew that you were going to bring him up. I knew it. Yeah, he's an interesting character.
Uh-huh. So, Don, for your information, Gina is really connected to dolphins. And usually, whenever we do these calls, Gina comes in and starts blessing the dolphins. So, when Gina came on earlier in the show, I asked her if she would do a dolphin sound. And she did. She goes and travels places. She goes to Florida. She lives in Hawaii, and she tracks dolphins. Gina, would you like to make your Don wasn't here. Would you like to make your dolphin sound for Don?
Oh, sure. It would be my pleasure. Okay.
All right. Don, if you were going to answer her, what would you say?
Well, I would answer her with something like Pikachu.
Gina, how do you make that sound? If I tried to...
I just do it. It just comes to me.
You couldn't train
me. And the dolphins, they love it. They love it. They come right up to me immediately when I make that sound. So they respond pretty well to it. It's like, sea dolphins, they have what's called a signature whistle, or a sound that they make, like, you know, they'll say, hi, I'm Wynn, or hi, I'm Terry, or hi, I'm Don, or hi, I'm Heist, or, you know, whoever. And each of them have a unique sound. So what I do is when I swim with them, I make my usual sound, and they recognize it's me. I mean, they can tell it's me anyways, you know, but they operate on such a high vibration with tones and sounds. And then I'll change up the sound even. And they like that, and then I tried talking to them in my mask, calling their ancient name, which is Watakii. I mean, I'm sorry, that's their goddess, Ki'i Kuo Ki'i. And I said that in my mask, and it came out in tones, and they responded immediately to that also.
Mm-hmm.
So they seem to like it, you know, when I do it. I mean, they're the highest sentient beings on this planet right now. That's the theory, as well as whales, of course.
Now,
in 3D, I'm talking about, in 3D. You know.
Right, when you go in the water in Hawaii, when you go in the water in Hawaii, do you have the same dolphins that keep reading you?
Pardon?
Do you keep seeing the same dolphins? Like, do they look for you?
Yes. Yes, there's a pod of 300 resident dolphins on Oahu. Uh-huh. And I can see anywhere from 10 to 50, sometimes 100. It just depends on how many of them there are, and sometimes they'll even join up with a bigger pod, and or another, like two pods will join up and become like a super pod. And they were very excited on Saturday, very, very excited, and jumping, and you know,
social. Can you recognize them? Can you tell one from the other?
Sometimes, like if they have certain markings on them, like one. He has like a circle on the side where his cape is, you know, his what's called his coloration, his gray part. There's a circle because he was bit by a cookie cutter shark, so he has like that scar, and I recognize that dolphin. There's another one on his dorsal fin, his back fin. It's kind of, you know, chewed a little. You know, it's not perfect, and I recognize that dolphin. So sometimes I can recognize them, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so blessed and grateful and honored to really be in their presence, truly.
Hey, let's see if anyone on our call wants to make any comments about all of that.
I would like to make a comment. Can you hear me? Or am I muted?
I hear you. Yeah.
Okay. If I make a sound, could you say if it's anything like a dolphin sound? And I can picture it in my mind, but I don't know if I can make it. It goes something like... like that.
Oh, I didn't quite hear you, Terry, too well.
Well, okay, try it again. Something like that.
Yes, that's true. That could be a dolphin sound, because dolphins, they have different tones and different sounds. They can be real high. They can be real low. Like they have what's called chirps. Sometimes they'll have squawks, squeaks, or whistles. So the sound you were making is a lower tone.
Yeah.
You know, a lower sound, which certainly could, you know, apply. And they even make sounds our human ears can't even hear. The sounds are so high and so low, and the frequency
yeah.
they operate on. So some of the sounds they make, we can't even hear.
Sorry about all those noises. I was actually trying to bring in some dolphin sounds, but I don't think what I was getting was dolphin.
you were going to try to do a dolphin sound yourself, Tom?
I was just bringing some in, and I don't think it worked well.
All right. I'm going to open up our line and see if any of our people want to take their shot at doing a dolphin sound. Hang on a second.
Thank you for listening.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Hang on, Gina. You might have to help them.
All callers are muted.
Don't go away.
All callers are unmuted.
Okay, everyone's unmuted. Anyone ever try to make a dolphin sound on the line? Guys, you're our producer and our greeter.
I think I know a hungry dolphin sound.
You're going to make a hungry dolphin sound? Okay, that was high.
I'd probably leave that dolphin right where it is. I wouldn't touch it.
Anyone else? Tracy. Are you there?
Oh, Tracy's laughing at the high seal. I don't think so.
No one else wants to make a dolphin sound, huh?
I'll try.
They're very excited, I will tell you guys this, because I'm always in their stream and in their field, and we can connect with them at any time. They want us to know that. We don't always have to be in the water with them, the whales also, to connect with them. So they're jumping and they're spinning and they're going crazy right now because, you know, we're thinking of them and they appreciate it so much.
Do you mind, Gina, to tell us why you think they were so excited Saturday? Are you talking about, like, the super moon energy?
Yes, actually, that was part of it because they're, you know, if I may continue in, I don't want to take over the whole show, but they're the grid holders,
okay,
the grid keepers of Gaia, of Mother Earth. So they're very, very sensitive to all the Earth changes. The whales, too, but the whales, you know, do more balancing with the Akashic records and stuff like that. So the dolphins are super attuned to any Earth changes, however minor or major, you know, they are. So definitely, yes, the full moon, but also because of the birth of the sixth avatar was born on May 5th. And this sixth avatar child holds the 12th strand of DNA, which will help humanity to ascend from 3D into, some people say 4D, some say 5D.
So who is that sixth avatar, Gina?
Pardon?
Who is sixth avatar? And also, would it be possible to teach the whales and dolphins to stay away from the danger of humans, of their ships and things?
Oh, certainly. I mean, you know, they're a lot smarter, and I think a lot of what they do is on purpose to help humanity to advocate for them and to learn more about them. So they know often to stay away, but in terms of, like, the sonar, for example, that sets them off kilter. And, you know, if we keep surrounding them with white light, you know, and protection, certainly that can help. And, yes, we can telepathize and tell them, hey, guys, you know, stay away from that or be careful of that. I don't know who the sixth avatar child is. However, I feel that he is a male child, and I believe that he was born in Asia. That's kind of the feeling I'm getting, but I'm not sure on that one.
This is the sixth avatar dolphin.
He's definitely connected to them, absolutely, because he's human with Jesus. He holds the frequency that Jesus did, because Jesus was the other avatar that had the 12 strand DNA as well.
Let me just say that Gina is not speaking the truth of this show. She's speaking her own experience, so she's not representing, but it might be true, but I just want to clarify that, okay?
Yes, this is all theoretical. You know, with the avatar child, yeah.
Don, are you still there? Hello, Don. Did you disappear, Don?
I just stepped out for just a second, and I'm actually back, and I'm back.
Did you go to the bathroom?
No, but I did visit the dolphins.
You did? Okay. Now, Don, could I
There's some dolphin sounds.
Oh!
I guess that's kind of like a dolphin, right? I'm just on the browser.
You know, Don, I don't know if you know this, but dolphins have a sex life that you would probably like.
I appreciate all sex lives, yes.
You know about the sex life of dolphins?
No, but I'm intrigued. I bet you if you told me about it, I'd be right there with you.
I'm not going to say it. I'm going to have Gina share it because she's the expert.
Excellent.
Gina, are you there?
Oh, thank you, Wynn. You're too kind. What would you like me to share?
Well, tell us about dolphin sex life.
A dolphin sex life? Well, dolphins are definitely...
You have to do this without blushing, okay?
Okay. Dolphins are definitely polygamous. They have sex with anybody. You know, it's kind of open free-for-all for them. In other words, they're not monogamous. And also...
They have a lot to teach us.
Females will be with females, and males will be with males if they prefer. And they've often done this right in front of me. So I'm like, okay, guys, I get it. You know, they like showing me. And basically, what they do is one will swim on...
They're exhibitionists as well.
They are, yes.
They like it when other people watch.
Oh, I think they enjoy it, actually.
Okay.
Because they do it, and it's the birthing season right now, actually, so a lot of wonderful, cute baby dolphin calves are being born right now, and they're just as big as a football, the spinners I'm talking about, because those are the ones in Hawaii, and they're just cute as can be. So usually a dolphin will swim on its belly, and then one will come up and go, you know, right on top. And they'll continue swimming as they're doing this. They'll just kind of float, you know. In other words, they won't, like, stop and stay still the intercourse.
They're engaged and passionate in the intercourse, and they're swimming at the same time, right?
Yeah, I mean, they, you know, slow down a bit, of course, but they're still moving, you know, they're constantly moving. And they can also do it kind of standing up, too, like, you know, straight up, and the dolphin will be there, and another dolphin will come next to it, and they'll just kind of swim, you know, in an upwards motion, too. They can do it that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very quick. It's very quick because... The dolphin's penis is kind of hook-like, and it comes out of the belly, you know, because it's tucked in the belly. And so it comes out, and they have a vestigial hind limb left over from their evolution, which is another evidence that they are cousins and related to man, to humans. And besides their five phalanges, their five finger bones in their flipper, too. But the penis is hook-like, so it comes out and, you know, inserts into the belly of the female in her vaginal area. And it's pretty quick. It happens pretty, pretty quick, a matter of a couple seconds. Maybe I'd say a minute or two at the very, very most, and that's it.
A minute or two?
And then they're...
So they don't have foreplay?
Oh, they do. You know, they'll scratch and nip and bite at each other, and I would consider that not only a form of communication, but foreplay as well. Sure, they've got that.
Do they kiss each other?
No.
No.
No, but they constantly are touching each other and rubbing up against each other, and they swim very close together,
mm-hmm.
always, unless they're a scout. Then they may, you know, be on the outside of the group or the front or the back of the group, or, you know, they may go off on the side a little bit, one or two of them, but then they always come back. They always come back in the main pod.
Mm-hmm.
They love touch. However, I would never touch them in the wild because that would betray their trust in me. However, I've been very, very honored because they have gotten close enough to me, arm's length, where I could reach out and touch them if I chose to. But I have not done so. In fact, I have, in some videos I just took in pictures recently of them, and I'd be happy to email you those if you'd like, so everyone could see them.
Email me them, and we'll send them out when we send out this audio, okay?
They're so graceful and so appreciative, as well as I, when that we are talking about them and recognizing them. They're very, very profoundly in gratitude. This is what I'm getting from them.
Mm-hmm. So, do dolphins ever get attracted to humans? Are they just
sticking yes. to it? Yes, they can. There have been times in captivity, and myself as well, when I have swam with them numerous times in captivity, where one will rub up against you, like my leg, so they'll rub up against my leg or, you know, bump up against my fin or my arm. And some males have gotten attracted to female swimmers, and they've gotten a bit amorous with them. Yes, that can happen. Whales, too.
I'm not going to ask you any more about this. We're not going to pursue this any further. Let's see, does anyone have any questions about this stuff? I have a feeling this is not going to be one of those calls where we bring our group souls in. But you know what? The spirit of the connection is present, and you can feel it. I can feel it. And Don, you have any questions? Are you there, Don? We were going to talk about the Don and Wynn show from hell, okay? But I don't know if I should talk about it unless Don is on the line listening.
Well, yeah, I'm here. Probably. I'm here. I'm just wandering around a little bit. Just a little bit.
Do you remember the Don and Wynn show from hell?
The Don and Wynn show from hell? It rings a bell.
I think it was the last one we did.
Was that? You know, we've done a few that would be considered
now,
inappropriate for any audience.
is there anything I could say about you that I shouldn't say live in public?
Let's see, ladies. Like, I'm single.
I was going to talk about how. Now, I mean, you know, everything's in the past.
Right.
So whatever we ever did in the past, we can look at it and laugh about
it. We'll keep that hotel night between you and I, right?
The motel from hell? That was Terry and I, and we had...
I don't know. I kept on. You put your skivvies back on, but you wouldn't.
We were in Palm Springs, and the Don and Wynn show had deteriorated. Remember it? How it deteriorated?
It fell apart. What do they call that? Monasticized? No, that's not the word.
Well, I mean, I think one of the things that was happening now was you were having activities that were making you a little bit kind of woozy on the show. Remember?
Those are proclivities, not activities.
Proclivities, right.
Right.
In other words, Don would show up on the show.
Inebriated.
Thank you. I'm glad you said it. He was inebriated. We would try to conduct the show.
I came to work inebriated.
Yeah, I came to work inebriated. He was under the pressures of building BBS Radio.
Oh, I was trying to expand my mind.
Is that why?
Why I came to work drunk?
Yes.
Off my keister, falling over?
Yes.
I don't know. I probably felt like it. That's the beauty of working for yourself, folks. You know, when you work as long as hard as I do every day, and believe me, I'm always here. So when people say, oh, gee, those guys don't work, they have people working for them. You want to bet? We work. We work hard. So, you know, sometimes we party. And we like to party. I'm a partier, guys. Hey, nothing wrong with partying. You got to work hard and play hard. I don't get out much, so I have to kind of play within the confines of myself.
And we won't ask you to explain that, okay?
I can inebriate on that.
Okay, you could inebriate on that? See, this is the kind of rapport Don and Wynn and I were having on the show. But we're having a good rapport tonight because he's not inebriated. Maybe you are. Are you inebriated tonight?
I'm always inebriated.
You always are?
Well, most times.
How much do you drink a day?
About 8 glasses of water, 5 cups of coffee, 2 teas, sodas.
That's hydrated. That's not inebriated.
Close enough. Drink as much as I do. It'll inebriate you. You've seen my news.
Anyone on the line want to ask Don a question? Are you open to questions, Don?
Me? Sure. I'm always open to assault. Yeah, I'll take a question. Sure. Fire.
I'm open to a pepper. Never mind.
Pardon me?
Never mind. That's a bad pun. A salt and a pepper.
A salt and a pepper.
Okay. Who would like to ask Don something? Now, sometimes I do this, and nobody says anything. There's dead silence on the line.
I'm just not all that interesting. I haven't even found myself all that interesting, so I don't even ask myself questions.
Now, Don, did you meet Heise?
Did I meet who?
Heise. Did you meet Don?
Heise.
Heise, are you on the line?
Yes.
Heise.
Yes, I met Don and Dirk.
Yeah, Heise lives right around the corner from you, you know.
All right, very cool.
And how far are you? About
15 minutes.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Close.
So, you remember we met, Don?
Yeah. Where was that?
That was like half a year ago.
Mm.
Almost a year ago.
Okay. I believe you. I'm just trying.
And they're giving all those awesome vegetables.
Oh, were you
homegrown?
Oh, I'm just trying to recall. Where was it, about a job?
No. I was just interested. We did talk about solar panels.
Oh, right. That's right. I remember.
Are you telling the truth, Don? You really remember? Or were you inebriated?
No, I remember. I'm just glad he's not the guy with the wife and the girlfriend and, you know, the girl.
I see. Okay. You know, it's almost time to bring our show to a close.
No, I remember quite well. Yeah, no, I do remember now completely. Yep. Now, and you have a question for me?
I have no questions for you, no.
You see?
I have a question. What's the name of your dog?
My dog? I actually have several. Yeah. I got several dogs. And they're all hounds and all beagle-type dogs. There's Obi, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Obi's the boy. And then Coco and Caitlin are the two females. And then we have another female, a Minpin, Nikki, and that's Doug's dog. And then we have a cat, and we have a few rabbits, and we have some hens, and soon we're going to have a partridge and a pear tree. So it's kind of a little farm community around here now. I love it.
You know that I had a dog that was named Obi?
Really?
Yep. And I had him for a long time. A little kind of cockapoo.
Oh, yeah. I've had a couple cockapoos in my time.
And then I actually gave Obi. For those of you that have been listening to the show regularly, Terry has a friend, John, who passed away. And we had an amazing show where Terry was in the hospital while John was passing. And she followed him up and pushed him into the column of light, which he probably wouldn't have gone into otherwise. But
you saved John an immortal soul?
John was about 85 years old. And at one point in the channeling, they said it would be really good to give Obi to John because it would really be a great companion. So I did. I gave Obi to John, and they were great companions. John at first didn't want to take Obi because John and I were very kind of, he competed. He had a hard time with me, so he wouldn't accept it. But we gave it to him anyway. And then Obi died probably a couple of months before John did. Isn't that right, Terry? I think you're muted, Terry.
Yeah. About 2 months before John died, Obi died.
Yeah.
And so, he always said he didn't know what he would do if, you know, when Obi died. But
he hoped that he would die after Obi, so that he Obi would be taken care of.
They were they were quite a team. And I don't know if you guys know this. I don't know if I ever talked about it. But we talked. Should we keep talking a little bit more, Don?
I mean, take your time.
You have another show.
No, actually, next week there will be a show after you. This week they're not starting. I think they're starting next week.
Okay. You know, one of the things I wanted to do, and you can join us.
I'll be around. I'll be tuning in.
No, well, I mean, right now, I want to do this right now. And that is, we've learned to create. This is a pretty critical time in the world right now, and one of the most critical things which I've been reading on the internet about, I don't know, have you been reading about Fukushima Reactor 4, Don? Have you read about that at all?
You know, I stay up on all the news, yes. I read the news daily, voraciously, all of it, from all sides. Why? Well, you know, I'm interested. I want to know what's going on. And I read mainstream news and alternative news, so I try to get a good picture.
So, of course, Fukushima is where that nuclear disaster was in Japan.
Yeah, correct.
And
appropriately named, too, I'll say.
It's what?
I said appropriately named, I'll say, you know.
Fukushima?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds like it's connected to dolphins.
Well, sounds like we're finishing the job, doesn't it?
In any case, Reactor 4 is the one with the most radiation in it, the rods, considerably more than the others. And there were a number of emails about what would happen if Reactor 4 broke down and had a meltdown. And that reactor, the building that it's in, was actually already tilted from the tsunami, already tilted. And there's a number of articles being written that say if Reactor 4 has a meltdown, and people are saying it's a serious possibility, that it would create an extinction event on our planet, okay? And that people should be preparing now for that possibility. Helen Caldicott, who is like a person who is kind of a spokesperson for not using nuclear electricity, Helen Caldicott said she would leave the country and go to South America.
Look at Bush family. I mean, they bought a hell of a water aquifer down there, didn't they? South America seems to be where to go. If you're looking to escape some of the problems, that might be the new green mecca of the new age. Yeah, it's unfortunate what we're doing, but if things get any worse, like some of them say, yeah, it'd be critical, wouldn't it?
And the other thing is, you know, one theory is that the whole thing was started, you probably have seen this on some of your blogs, by a bomb that went off in the Pacific Ocean, right?
Well, I think the timing and the coincidences of what's going on and the payoffs and how this the whole economy and the global economy has been moving, the march is on. Yeah, I think there's been a lot of funky business. I think the Gulf's been funky. I think this has been a funky situation, a false flag situation. I think there are others. Getting more and more heinous, more and more involved with more and more people a part of it, more money a part of it. It's an oddity. It's strange, folks. I mean, you even listen to some of the good politicians today. They're telling you it like it is, but, of course, that's not being communicated to anybody, and so people are still in the dark. And if they aren't, they're probably as shocked as I am by the unbelievable atrocities that are going on. What can you say at this point except that we're going to have to take a long-term coordinated strategy. The young people and the young minds, we got to sit back and say, yep, okay, we're gonna now play this thing long-term and smart. And we're going to play the game of the money, even though we don't want to. And that means people are going to have to step up to the plate. They're going to have to get involved in things they don't like to. And they're going to have to change things. And you can't change things unless you play the game. And that's a lot like Ron Paul says. Look, you got to get involved to play. You can't put your head in the sand. You can't duck out. And believe me, it's coming to get everybody at this point. We're all going to have to find our unity and commonality if we're going to survive in a free with a free and just society. Otherwise, we're not going to have it. We're going to lose it, and we're fast approaching that time.
Listen, I want to read you a little bit of this article from Natural News. And Natural News does not normally talk about catastrophic events. They talk about alternative health things. And this was written by the editor of Natural News. And I want you to hear this because, I mean, he thinks this is the most, how can I say it, the biggest story of the day. Listen to how he approaches it. The news you're about to read puts everything else in the category of insignificant by comparison. Concerned over the 2012 U.S. presidential election. Worried about GMOs, fluoride, vaccines, secret prisons. None of that matters if we don't solve the problem of Fukushima reactor number 4, which is on the verge of a catastrophic failure that could unleash enough radiation to end human civilization on our planet. The resulting releasing of radiation would turn North America into a dead zone for humans. Mutated and failed crops, radioactive groundwater, skyrocketing infinite mortality, an explosion in cancer and infertility that is what could be unleashed at any moment from an earthquake in Japan. Such an event could result in the release of 85 times the cesium-137 released by Chernobyl, say experts. And the Chernobyl catastrophe made its surrounding regions uninhabitable for centuries, for humans. Yet astonishingly, the usual suspects of deception are saying absolutely nothing about this problem. The mainstream media pretends there's no problem with Fukushima. President Obama says nothing about it. Federal regulators, including the NRC, are all but silent. It's as if they think their silence on the issue somehow makes it go away. Perhaps these professional liars in the media and government have become so used to the idea that they can simply spin their own reality that they now believe they can ignore the laws of physics. That's why they have refused to cover the low-level radiation plume that continues to be emitted from Fukushima. The fate of the world now rests on reactor number 4. It's no exaggeration to say that the fate of Japan and the whole world depends on number 4 reactor. And that's a quote from Mitsuhi Murato, former Japanese ambassador to Switzerland and Senegal, executive director of the Japanese Society for Global Systems and Ethics. Mr. Murato's stunning statement should be front page news everywhere around the world. Why? Because he's right. If reactor 4 suffers even a minor earthquake, it could set off a chain reaction of events that quickly lead to North America becoming uninhabitable by humans for centuries to come. Imagine California, Oregon, and Washington states being inundated with radiation, up to 85 times the radiation released from Chernobyl. We're talking about the end of human life on the scale of continents. Here's how this could happen, according to Mr. Robert Alvarez, former senior policy advisor to the secretary and deputy assistant secretary for national security and the environment at the U.S. Department of Energy. And here's his quote. The number 4 pool is about 100 feet above ground, structurally damaged, and is exposed to the open elements, If an earthquake or other event were to cause this pool to drain, this could result in a catastrophic radiological fire involving nearly 10 times the amount of CS-137 released by Chernobyl. The infrastructure to safely remove this material was destroyed, as it was in the other three reactors. Spent reactor fuel cannot be simply lifted into the air by a crane as if it were routine cargo. In order to prevent severe radiation exposures, fires, and possible explosions, it must be transferred at all times in water and heavily shielded into dry casks. And this has never been done before. The removal of the spent fuel from the pools of the damaged Fukushima Daiichi reactors will require a major and time-consuming reconstruction effort and charting in unknown waters. Reactor number 4 contains 1,535 spent fuel rods, which remain highly radioactive. They hold the potential of 37 million curies of radiation. These rods are stored in a concrete pool located 100 feet above the ground inside the structurally compromised reactor building, effectively making the pool open to the air. The pool holding the fuel rods is structurally damaged. If an earthquake or other event were to cause this pool to drain, this could result in a catastrophe, radiological fire, involving nearly 10 times the amount of CS released in Chernobyl. The infrastructure to safely remove this material was destroyed, as it was in the other three reactors. All these fuel rods are astonishingly exposed to the open air. They are not held inside any containment vessel. The total number of spent fuel rods across all six reactors is 11,421. If reactor number 4 suffers a structural failure, the release of radiation from the 1,535 spent fuel rods would make it virtually impossible for work to continue on the site, potentially resulting in an inability to halt a massive radiation release from all the other rods. And it goes on and on and on. You can look this up. Just look up Fukushima extinction event, and I'm sure you'll get 300 websites on it. And it's coming from all kinds of websites. It's not just the alternative Rebel Rouser website. And so what I wanted to do was to take a moment of silence, call in the light, and ask for our sources to help. But we're not going to do a channeling on this because I don't know what they're going to say and I don't want to put it out right now. It's positive. But I will keep people informed. What's that, Terry? Terry?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought I heard you say something.
Yeah, so, it sounded like my voice.
Sounded like your voice, didn't it? Okay.
Yeah, I did. It sounded just like my voice, but I didn't see a word.
All right. Hang on.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
So, Donna, would you like to hang in with us for the next couple of minutes while we do this?
I can do that.
You don't have to, but, you know, this stuff works. We've had so many amazing things happen on these calls, and things shift, and people get healed. And so it can't do any harm, and maybe we'll do some good. Everyone who listens to this right now, either live or on the replays, on the telephone replays, we're going to take a moment and shut your eyes, and we're going to bring in the light. We're going to invoke a group energy, honoring your free will. We're going to bring in our sources to this group energy. And some of you can feel the connection. And we're going to take a moment of intention And I don't know how this intention will manifest, but we're going to use our group intention and ask our sources to join with our intention to, first of all, surround this entire area for protection from earthquakes and tsunamis and anything that might upset this reactor. And we're going to ask that any way, shape, or form that there can be any mediation on this reactor to reduce the radioactivity in some miraculous kind of way, I'd like to ask for that intervention. We can imagine our energies just descending on Fukushima and surrounding that area. And okay, done. We're gonna do a private questioning about this because maybe it's something we're gonna add to all our calls and have team shift add to all of their calls, because this is one of the unusual benefits of having this kind of connection with these kinds of sources. So on that note, I thank Gina for being so helpful on this show and sharing with us her dolphin information. And I especially thank Don for gracing us with his presence and for founding BBS and giving a forum for many people like myself to reach an audience and with their messages. And Don, you want to say anything in closing? Don is gone. Okay. Of course, I thank Terry and everyone else. And we'll see you Wednesday. And maybe we'll have some more information on this nuclear disaster in Japan. So on that note, God bless you all, and have a great evening. And thanks for being here.
Stop conference recording, press 1. Your conference recording has stopped.